How many of you know there's a lot to talk about? There's a lot to talk about. I come up here a lot of nights and I have a lot to say. Jesus said one time, I have many things to say, but you're dull of hearing. And he said many things to say unto you, but you can't bear them yet. So we have many things to say. I have so many things to say that it's difficult for me to know where to start when I come up here. I want to say so many things, and I feel a real sincerity about you when you come together. And at night, I can tell that you're tired. But I really have to be honest. Though I feel a fear of God, and though I feel that you'd like to be sincere with God, all these wonderful things I feel your reverence, but I don't feel the hunger and the thirst for spiritual things that I know that you should have. The Bible said, he that hungers and thirsts after the things of God, he shall be filled. And I don't feel you hungering after that. I feel you're divided. I feel a divided thing as to where you're partly after the things of the world and partly after the things of God. And there is a division there as to your mind, whereas the Bible said, if you be double-minded, that the double-minded man shall be unstable in all of his ways, and let not that man think that he shall receive anything of God. See, if you get double-minded, you can't get anything at all of God. So you've got to be single-minded. Like the Bible teaches that if your eye be single, then your whole body is full of light. When you say your eye, he's speaking of the eyes of your understanding. Your eyes of understanding being enlightened to comprehend heights and depths and width and lengths of these things concerning God. You can have the world one minute in your thinking as to your eyes of understanding. You can have things of God as to your understanding in the next minute. And therefore, your eye is not single. But if it were single, then if it was single, your whole body would be full of light. You could ask of God, and he would give you the desires of your heart. For he has already given you the desire of his heart through Christ. So we don't have time to really preach to you, and that's the truth. We actually do not have time to really preach, not even one sermon to you. And we just kind of hurry around here and there and kind of try to bring forth enough to put it together to where it can stimulate you to keep on trying. But to really bring forth a sermon, we'd have to get you in here probably around 6 or 7 o'clock and stay till about probably 12 or 1 o'clock. And then we would probably get over a fairly good sermon as to putting some things together. See, the mysteries of God, the Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness. And Paul said, I would that you were spiritual. I'd like for you to be spiritual. You know, there's a few spiritual people in the world. There's not a lot of spiritual people in the world, but there's a few spiritual people in the world, and these people, they don't spend their time thinking about money and businesses and frocks and houses and land and visiting and doing and going and reveling. They don't spend their time as with concern for the materialistic values of life. Jesus said, take no thought for those things. Just don't take any thought for those things. All of those things, he said, will take thought for themselves. You don't need to take thought for those things. Don't take any thought as to saying tomorrow, what are we going to eat? How are we going to pay the light bill? How are we going to pay on our car? Where are we going to get the gas to ride with, you know? Take no thought for those things. Said, for the Gentiles, seek after all of those things. And of course, you're Gentiles, and you do. You seek after all those things. He was speaking to the Jews. He said, don't you don't do that. So the Gentiles, they're after businesses and money and frocks and movies and all these kind of things, you know. He said, they're after that. And sure enough, here I am with the Gentiles, and they're after it. Wherever we go, they're after it. But he said, you don't do that. He said, you seek the kingdom of God, and he'll take care of all these things. He said, you can consider the lily of the field. God made it. God clothes it. It doesn't take any thought for what it's going to wear. And he said, King Solomon in all of his glory is not arrayed like one of these. And he said that you shouldn't take any thought, saying as we'll do this tomorrow or we'll do that. He said, for you don't know what a day is going to bring forth. But yet we planned it all. We planned a day that we're going to make $100 tomorrow, $1,000 tomorrow. We map it all out, and we're going to give 8 hours to this, or we're going to give 7 hours to that. You know, and I know that. I know that you do that. I used to do that too. I used to do that with a regularity. I get up before daylight, you know, have to go on my job, and it's honorable. There's certainly nothing wrong with that. The Bible said labor that you might have to give. But you that have come to the wonderful knowledge of God and the great things of God, that's not God's program for you. He said, well, you think we ought to just quit work, Brother Pike? Well, that's up to you. It depends on whether you want to go hungry or not. But I'm talking to children of God. The Bible said, if a man don't work, neither shall he eat. So if you quit, you're bound to go hungry. But I'm speaking to the children of God that are not mocking me, you know, that really want to hear what we got to say about it. Jesus asked a question one time. He said to the people, he said, isn't your life more than meat? More than meat? You're after meat like in the wilderness. They just crave meat. They wanted something to eat. And he said, isn't your life that you have worth more than that? You use up your life to gain the meat that you eat, and then you die because you eat the meat, and then you have no life left. And he said, isn't your body more than raiment? You use up your body to get houses and lands and clothing and all kind of things. He said, isn't your body worth more than all of these things you labor for? For you use up your body to get them, and then you've got them, and then you don't have the body. The body, it's gone. You die. Said, doesn't this make sense? He said, you know, and if your heavenly Father created you, I believe he can take care of you. I say in the wilderness, they didn't have any industries. They didn't have any incomes. They followed the Lord, and yet he made them rich. The Bible says that the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Seek the kingdom first. Then comes faith, and you'll have all the things you want. So then, when I look at the big, vast body of water, I go down to the ocean. Been on the ocean a number of times, and some of you have too. And I look and I see the great body of water. You wonder where it come from. And you see it churning in the waves rolling. And sharks and whales and thousands and millions and millions and millions and millions of whales and sharks and fish. I mean huge. Some of those whales, blue whales, weighing maybe over 90 tons. And you think, my God, who feeds all them things? Who takes care of all them things? And you stand there and you consider, you know, and then you think about the forest and you think about all of the little squirrels and the birds and the deers and everything. You know, and you think about the jungle and the lions, the elephants and giraffes and all these things. You think, dear God, who feeds all of these things? And then you stop and think and say, Lord, I've got to go to work on Monday. I just don't know what I'm going to do if I don't go to work on Monday. Let's give the Lord a hand. That makes us mighty little, don't it? And don't you know that makes God feel mighty bad to think that here he feeds all of those things and he clothes the lilies of the field. And here we are, you know, we've just got to go to work on Monday. Just got to go to work on Monday. Folks, I used to do that. I did that until one day somebody says, and one day you become a preacher and you started getting plenty of money and you didn't have to work. Let's give the Lord another hand. No, I wasn't like that at all. One day I took my wife, as I've told you. We took a few little old rags and threw them into a little old car, partially with blowout tires. And we started off by faith. And every time my wife said, "What are we going to do?" I said, "We're going to trust the Lord." And of course, she was willing. So we've been trusting the Lord ever since. And we travel all over the nation, all over the different parts of the world. And when we started, we didn't have nobody to stand by us. We didn't have one person to give us nothing. Relatives or friends or neighbors or nobody else. We just went by faith. And we went. We didn't have anything, but we still went. And as we went, God made the way. He made the way, and he fed us just like he did the little squirrels. He fed us. When I got up in the morning and I was expecting my breakfast and the children were expecting their breakfast and Betty was expecting her breakfast, I expected him to feed me just like he did the little squirrels. He was going to serve them breakfast and he was going to feed the lion when breakfast time comes. So I was one of his created beings. I expected him to feed me. And you know, it worked. It's still working. It still works. Works real good. Everybody says, "Yeah, but I tell you, I don't want no piece of bologna and bread." If you'd have been where I'd been, you'd have been glad to got some bologna with the bread. You'd have been glad to got the bread so you could have eat it with bologna if you'd have got the bologna. But what I'm saying is that it worked. God don't just give you an old piece of bologna. Wife sat down and eat the very best. Very best. Elijah sat down by the brook out there, and those ravens fed him, brought him food. Somebody said, "Well, where did it come from?" I don't know. They might have slipped in on the king's table and got it. I don't know where it come from. If the window was open, I don't doubt a bit what they might have got the king to share with him. But there's one thing about it. He was fed. He was taken care of. And I, as a matter of fact, I eat steak today. Let's give the Lord another hand. Praise God. The squirrels like nuts, so they get nuts. And I like steak, so I get steak. Not really. I really don't care for steak. I really don't. It's all right, but I don't care for it. I'd much rather have a flapjack and a fried piece of fatback or something. I come up like that on the farm, and there's something about it. It's satisfying to me, and make some gravy, red-eyed gravy, a thickening gravy, and I tell you, that just does something to me. A lot of times, steak just don't look appetizing to me. It looks to me like it's a waste of time, especially the way some folks cook it. I had something to recently happen. I tell this, "David, is he up there?" And the world tells not. Brother Larry, he sent me a steak sandwich yesterday, and I thought I was going to eat my steak sandwich. I went in the house and I said, "Betty, share this steak sandwich with me. I don't want all of it." "No, she didn't want any." So I laid it on the table. And about that time, David come in. I said, "Well, I'll share this with David." So David, he come in and he saw it and I said something about it. And he took him a bite of it, you know. And it tasted pretty good. So he come back, got him another bite of it. And he just picked up the whole sandwich and he said, "Daddy, you never want this." I said, "This got too much pepper. It's too hot." And he ate the whole steak. He left me without anything. You don't tell him I said that. He's not here tonight. But anyway, he was hungry and he needed it. He's a growing boy, so he needed it. And I praise God for David. I praise God for you. All right. Let's get real serious now and talk about some things that I may not get to say much to you tonight, but we can say a little bit. How many of you enjoyed Brother David Hauser this morning? Chapter 5, I want to read a little bit this. I don't know where I'll go. I really don't know where I'll go with it, but I want to say just a few things, just read something to you if I can. Chapter 5 in the book of Revelation, the first verse. "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hath redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the full beast said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. And it goes on to say that the seals were loosed one at a time. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, Come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, Come and see. And I beheld, lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see, thou hurt not the oil and the wine. When I had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, Come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death. And hail followed with him, and power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with beast, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season unto their fellow servants also, and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and isle were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. One of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them, and they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there were given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not, for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit. as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. It was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was to be as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh the man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were as it were crowns like gold. And their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One voice passed, and behold, there comes two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loose, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them, and thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth, and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. And out of their mouth issued fire, and smoke, and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murder nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornications, nor of their thefts. I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered the voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he had declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of this Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on the seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. The nations were angry, and thy wrath is come in the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, unto the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was open in heaven. There was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God into his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused him before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads that were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven and on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark of the name, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their forehead. That's reading quite a bit. The reason I did that, I wanted to tie together the whole of the tribulation period. I didn't read what I'd like to read, but I read enough to where it ties together all the opening of the seals, all the sounding of the trumpets. And as to the results, over to the place to where the 144,000 went through the tribulation. So then you find, if you'll notice here, in the book of Revelation, concerning this tribulation period, the last week of Daniel, if you'll notice, it speaks of the first part of this as the prophets in the seventh chapter. The angels were the ones that were sounding the seven trumpets. Try to hurry along as much as I can. That in the 11th chapter, that these that were to prophesy, in the third verse, had power to prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. Now that's the first part of your tribulation. I'm saying this so that when you study the book of Revelation, you won't get it all scrambled up in your mind. I'm here to try to teach you. I preached concerning all of this, and we've got different things about it on tape, breaking it down a little at a time. And I have exhorted you concerning many of these things, but a lot of times I perceive that you get it all scrambled up in your mind. So the first part of the tribulation is seen here in the 11th chapter, the third verse, and I will give power unto my 2 witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth, the 2 olive trees. And we could comment on that all night long as to what it is because of so much dispute concerning it. And then if you'll notice on over a little farther, we got along a little farther with it there to bring you over to the thing of Mount Zion, where the Lord appears on Mount Zion. And here the 144,000 that were sealed in the first part of this that I read to you, over in the seventh chapter, all of a sudden they've come through the tribulation of the sounding of the trumpets, even the three woes, which is part of the seven trumpets. Coming through there, I read concerning the breach between the sixth and the seventh trumpet. So then you find over in this part of the reading of the scriptures, you'll find that he speaks of the last part of the tribulation. For here the two prophets are killed. They're killed, and then it speaks in the 12th chapter of this woman, and the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. That is the last part of your tribulation. And it is spoken again of here as the last part. The last part of it here, it's spoken of in the 5th verse of the 13th chapter. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. That is the last part of your tribulation. This is shown as the Antichrist comes to power. There's a lot of things that I would like to say concerning this, but I want you to get that together, that what I read was from the beginning of the opening of the seals over to the end of the sounding of the trumpets, and with the end of the last trumpet, which is 11 and 15, 11th chapter, 15th verse, the last trumpet, that we read just a little bit beyond that as to what the trumpet had to do with, as to the woman giving birth to the child and him caught up to the throne, and the woman going into the wilderness for to spend the last part of the tribulation period as her time of purification, while the beast comes up out of the sea and kills the two prophets. He sets himself in order to rule, and about that time comes the plagues. We didn't read on into the plagues, but we have read the plagues to you concerning the things that was happening. Now, I want to comment just kind of with a scattered sort of a thing here. I read to you about the opening of the seals. I'm your minister. I'm sent to preach to you, and I'm sent to tell you the truth. That's why that I speak to you like I do. I want you to know the truth. It doesn't matter whose following that you intermingle with. It doesn't matter what church you go to or whatever kind of people confront you. I want you to be able to stand steadfast and unmovable when you are in battle for the Lord. That's why I read the scriptures, so you can get a continuity of it in your minds. And that's why that I emphasize so greatly the things of God and try to drive these things home to you. It's so easy to take somebody's word, so easy to listen to people, you know, and feel that you know what's going on when you really don't. See, I want to say again to you here, I have made the statement that no one has ever opened the seals to anybody in the earth as the one that opened the seals. Though it is said that Brother Branham did, though it is said that these seals were opened, there has never been no individual that ever opened these seals as an individual in the earth. If you can prove me to be wrong, the congregation is here. It's open to you to stand up and say what you will, if you can prove that wrong. I say this to you. It says, concerning this book, that there was no man found worthy in heaven. No man found worthy in the earth. No man found worthy under the earth. There was no man found worthy. There has never been or never will be a man that was found worthy to open these seals. The Lord Jesus himself is the only one. Read it here, chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" Who is worthy, he said. Who is worthy to do this? The angel said, "Where is the man that is worthy to do this? Who is worthy?" The answer came back, "And no man in heaven." That means that all that had died, gone on, even those that John communicated with, those angels communicated with John and said, "John, don't worship us because we are of the prophets, your brethren." Not any of them had gone on, Abraham or anybody else, Elijah, whatever. No man was found worthy in heaven. It goes on to say, "And no man in heaven nor in earth." No man in the earth. No man in the earth. Remember that no man in the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Neither under the earth. Neither under the earth, which means they that had died, they that were in the grave, or whether they were in hell or wherever they were at. There was no one. And then it was said, "And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof." Jesus alone was the one that could loose the seals. And we could say much about that tonight to prove that he did open them, that he was the only one that could open them, and that nobody else could open them. Now, do we have a right to open the seals in the earth as mankind? We do have a right to open the seals in the earth to mankind. Can it be done? Can I do it, or you do it, or Brother Branham or anybody else do it? Yes. Yes, we can do it for this reason, because God has loosed those seals by his Son Jesus, and his Son Jesus hath come into our heart, and he hath made known to us what he found in those seals. For he said, "All things has been made known unto me, I've made known unto you. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And ye have an unction from the Holy One that ye should know all things." Being the body of Jesus Christ, being the body of the Lamb, we can open these things to all the world. And the only way they will ever have a chance to hear or to see will be through us, as Christ himself within our heart opens or looses these seals to the world as to the finishing of the mysteries. But you can be sure that even though these things come to the world, they're not going to see them, they're not going to understand them, they're not going to know anything about it, because the Bible said the wicked shall not see when good cometh. For Satan, Lucifer, the god of this world, has blinded their eyes, even their eyes of understanding, that they should not see when good come. It's very obvious that they will not be able to understand these things, in that many of you Bethlehemites that are listening, and other people that are listening to my voice, even you don't understand them. So it's obvious that they're not going to understand them. If for so long that I have ministered to you and you don't understand them, it's for sure that they're not going to be able to understand them. I have stood here many times before you, and things have happened right here before your very eyes, as this was happening tonight, and you haven't seen it. You haven't understood it. And it wasn't something that come out of the book. It came right out of the Spirit of God, as from the book in the sense of the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word of the Lord came unto the prophets. See, and it's been right here before you, and these great and mighty things have transpired, and you've looked and you've seen them, and yet you haven't seen them. For having eyes, you see not. Having ears, you hear not. Lest at any time the heart should convert, and this be made known unto those that are listening. See, you haven't heard as to having ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You haven't seen, in that you don't have eyes to see. these wonderful things, as Jesus said, seeing always the things my Father does. So then you've not seen and you've not heard. And here it is, a late season. The planting, the plowing, it's all over. Winter, summer has come and gone. And now winter time is here. And we are right on the verge of the coming of the Lord. And everything is set perfectly for the coming of the Lord. And many of you still haven't seen. And many of you are still children. And Paul said, wherein ye ought to be teachers. You still have need that you be taught, which is the beginning of the principles and the oracles of God. And he said, we need to leave that. We need to go on. There's something to go on to. We need to go on to be perfect. Remember, folks, I preach to you perfection. I tell you about being perfect in God, because he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He's made you perfect. I haven't told you wrong about that. You're perfect in the Lord. He's made you perfect. God has laid up a great treasure for you. He's endowed you with a great treasure. You now have that wonderful knowledge of God, even heavenly treasure. That which is in heavenly places, made known unto earthly people. And you have that treasure, as to this heavenly knowledge in your earthen vessels. See, and I preach to you perfection, which isn't wrong. That's right. He has made you perfect. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He has sanctified them once and for all by the offering of the body of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. But you still don't understand what I'm saying. You still don't understand the things that we're expressing to you, or what we're trying to bring forth. Even in these things, which should be more simple than understanding the deeper things that we speak of. See, though I be perfect in God, though Christ has made me perfect, though the blood is on the seat of atonement, I have nothing to worry about so far as my perfection, because I am complete in him. He hath wrought all of these great wonderful things. He hath made me perfect. God has shed his blood through human instrumentality for me, and I am perfected forever. But does that mean that I walk around as a perfect one, in that I don't have anything to do, or in that I shouldn't be trying to do anything? It doesn't mean that at all. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, if you're already perfect, tell me, what can you add to your perfection? I can't add anything to my perfection. The only thing I've got to do is understand what God said, rightly dividing the words of truth. I have a perfection from God that was wrought in Christ Jesus. I have this great, wonderful treasure. I have it in my earthen vessels, even the Spirit of God, which is the life and the understanding of Almighty God. I have this blessing that makes me rich, that will add no sorrow to my life. I have this. I have this in God. It's my treasure. But remember, when you've got your money in the bank, though you have it, you have to write the check to draw it out. Though the Father might have left it to you, it might have been a will that it came to you, might have been something that God has given to you, an inheritance, or your Father's given to you as an inheritance, but you can't get it, you can't enjoy it, you can't use it unless you write the check to get it out with. You can't do that. Or you've got to go there to draw the money out of the bank, if that's where it's at. Or you've got to go to the states, you've got to go to the country, you've got to go somewhere to get this money. Wherever it's at, that's where you got to go. You have to go to the fountain to get the water, to the well to get the water, wherever the well is. Like David Dale was telling me the other day, said, if you're going to get the knowledge of God, said, you got to go where it's at. That's true. So then we know that this great treasure is there. We know that God has laid it up for us. He's given us all things through Christ Jesus. I'm complete in the Lord. I know that this great treasure is mine. See, my perfection, all that I am, all that I want to be, all that I can ever be, is in Christ Jesus. And God has made him to be my sin, that I might not have to suffer the penalty of sin. He's made him to be my sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See, I have all of these things, but what do I have to do? I have to do something to obtain unto that. If your father left you a lot of money, if you put it in the bank, that doesn't mean anything. You know, if you're under the tutors, if you're under somebody that is to oversight you as a child until you grow up, though you be master of all, though you own everything, yet you're different nothing as a servant. You're just like a servant. You still don't get the benefit of your treasure. You don't get the benefit of your reward from your father. You don't get the benefit of your inheritance until you grow up to a certain age, and then they turn it over to you. Once you develop, once you learn to use it, once you learn to do the right things with it, then it's turned over to your hands. And folks, that's the way it is with Jesus. We're different nothing from a servant as long as we don't come to the bar mitzvah. We're different nothing from a servant as long as we don't develop, as long as we don't come to the understanding of God. See, we can't use this great treasure. We can't handle this great thing. We don't have control of it. We're still under the tutors. So I'm telling you this to make you to understand that though there is a heavenly trunk full of perfectness, there is a heavenly trunk full of perfection for Brother Pike. But I will only reap the amount of that perfection as to what I yield my members to receive. I must yield myself to that perfection. I must yield myself to the order of Christ. I must yield myself to conform to the rules and regulations that God has set to obtain that perfection. And whatever measure I obtain of it, that's all I'll ever have. As I submit to it, as I subject myself to it, as I go on to this great, wonderful treasure that God has given me, I have to conform to it. I have to submit to it. I have to go in that direction. I have to give up everything. I have to lose reservation of heart. See, God has given me this perfectness because you can't even come into the presence of God unless he makes you perfect. God couldn't spare you to grow and develop. You know, a little child is born into the world. That little child is imperfect, especially in his manners, in his understanding, in his development, as to what he's going to be in life. He isn't perfect. See, the measure of his perfectness is according to his growth. As he grows, like the Bible said, Jesus grew in favor with man and God. I grow. As I grow, a little child, I grow up and I develop. As I develop, then I can do what I want to according to the measure of my understanding. My dad, my mother would let me go to and fro, and sometimes I'd flip off when I didn't need to and get in trouble. But they kept a guideline. They kept reins on me. They watched over me, because when you're in that state of undevelopedness, you can go to prison, you can go to the electric chair, you can do anything, you can get wild thoughts, all kind of things. Especially teenagers, they feel like they're already developed. Daddy and mother's an old fogey, they do what they want to. So that they only have the advantage of life according to their development, according to their growth. And it's the same way with God. You're not perfect in the sense that you don't have anything to do toward perfection. He said, let us go on to perfection. I am perfect in the sense of the furnishing. God, he furnishes, he furbishes, he refurbishes. He has given me these things in Christ. I'm complete in Christ. All that I need, all that I want, everything that it takes for me to make the translation, I have it in Christ. See, everything that you need, as your father would say before his death, I'm going to leave it to you. All that you ever need to go to school with, to go to college with, or whatever I've appropriated the funds, they're all available to you. I'm leaving you under the constraint of tutors until you're able to take over. See, so God has given me all of this, but I've tried to apply myself. I've tried to go on in the process. I've tried to ask God to help me so that I can obtain this great, wonderful thing that God has got for me. He's got it for me. He wants me to have it. And I'm pressing forward, Paul said, to the prize and the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I don't say that I have obtained this, Paul said, but this I do say, that I'm forgetting those things that are behind, and I'm pressing forward to the prize and the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. For the Bible said we're to be complete in him, and we're to go on to full reward, to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. For everyone that be perfect shall be as his master. No man shall be above his master, but everyone that be perfect shall be as his master. He said, and go on to overcome. I've overcome, he said. I've overcome. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world for you. Don't let the world get you down. This is your victory that overcometh the world, even believing in what I've done for you. But folks, we can't believe. We can't believe if we don't do the things that please God. This heart isn't going to believe. The Bible said it's desperately wicked. It's deceitful. It's wicked above all things. Who can know it?
And we've got to have a pure heart to see God, because God is a spirit. He's a declaration from the lips of Jesus. He is a spiritual understanding. And we have to comprehend God, the heights, the depth, the width, the length, all of these great, wonderful things concerning the Spirit. Eyes of understanding. The Bible said the wicked shall not see when this comes. So then I comprehend God. I comprehend God. I'm moving on toward God. As Brother Gary Armstrong said over the evening while we were discussing some things up here, he said that, I see, Brother Pike, that God before, why, you know, there was no way to know God, because as we sat up there and talking while we were having a little discussion, that it's like water. When water's poured into a bucket, the only form it's got is the mold as to the bucket. You can take the water, you can put it in one thing or another, you know, and it'll conform to that. That's what we have to do. See, we're poured out into a mold, as from childhood, it's just life. And life has to be molded through characteristics. It has to come forth through development as to whether we're going to choose evil thoughts or good thoughts. The mind of evil as to Satan, or the mind of God. As to what we run this through, as to the process, then it will mold our inner character. It will mold us into the inner man as to the image of Satan, or the inner man as to the image of God. It depends on the mold. It depends on the thoughts. It depends on what you give yourself to. And of course, God coming through Jesus Christ as the great, wonderful God of heaven, coming through Jesus Christ, was molded into an image. He was molded into something like unto man. Like unto man. See, we must develop. Look at God, for instance. God, I brought this out not too long ago. The gold that's melted down, the dross has moved away. And then comes, as to the purging, and then comes the mold made into a lovely vessel. God, the great spirit, no man could worship God because they didn't know God. They couldn't see God. They couldn't understand God. There was no such thing as God to human beings. No such thing. They worshiped all kinds of things. But when God poured himself into the mold of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we saw God. We've heard of God. We've read about God. We saw God made manifest. Though he's gone away as a human being, we don't see him anymore. The Bible said we're not to know him after the flesh anymore. We have known him after the flesh, but we don't know him that way anymore. But see, we do have a God, because we have an understanding. We've comprehended. We've comprehended the heights, the depth, the width, the length as to our God. So then we have a God. Somebody says, where is he? I don't see him. Where is he? I don't know him. Naturally speaking, that's what we'd have to say. And he's just like on this side of Calvary as he was the other side of Calvary. You can't see him. You can't find him. You don't know nothing about him. But see, we do, because we have a mind left with us. We have a mind, the mind of Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who comprehended God. Christ, the mold. See, we have that mind in us, so we know God. We see him through the eyes of understanding. So then, the world doesn't see God. They don't have a God. They can't understand God, but we can. We have a God. See, so God is God to you and I. He's not God to the world. He's God to you and I. The gods of the world is their automobile, their money, all the gold, the silver, the idols, all the things they do, the things that they worship. How can you call him Lord, Lord, when you do not the things he says? So then we've got a God. See, and this God has given us all things that pertain unto life, whether natural life or whether the life to come, whether it be riches, whether it be health, whatever it might be, God has given these things to us. See, and he's wanting to bring us into a development. I am to come into a development. I am to develop to where I can have all of this perfection, all of this treasure, all of this greatness. I've got to develop. I only have the measure that I can obtain unto. I only have the measure that I can reach. I only have the measure that I will press forward to. Though the fullness of it is there, as to the stature of Jesus, he hath made himself available to me in the fullness, and said, let whosoever will come and partake of the waters of life freely. See, and come without money. Let the poor come. There is no charge, but I still only have what I press forward to get. If you're going to be partly out here with your minds on the different things of the world, then you're going to be partly without the great fullness of the reward of God. If you're going to seek after the world, it's to that extent, then you're going to miss a lot of the great treasure of God. See, but if you're going to put it all outside, take away every reservation of heart and go fully after the Lord Jesus, then you're going to receive fully of the Lord Jesus. For everyone that be perfect shall be as his master, and we're commanded to go on to perfection. So I want to get this over to you. We've got to understand that God has made us perfect so that we can be in his presence, so that the blood can cover us, so that we can be always in his presence without having to smite us or the devil having a chance to get at us. So then we are perfect as he looks upon us because of his works. But so far as you and I obtaining a full measure of reward as to that perfection, it is according to whatever you do. Every man will be rewarded according to his works. You understand what I say? We're protected by the blood while the blood is on the seat of atonement. But what have you obtained that the world hasn't obtained? They're also protected by the blood, for the blood took away the sins of the world. What you have, they also have. And they get along better than you do in that they're wiser in their ways. And they get along better than you do because the Bible said in this world only if we have hope, we are of all men most miserable because we deny ourselves of many things that they allow themselves to have that we could have. Because Paul said, all things are lawful to me. But he said, that's not the thing, brethren. He said, all things are not expedient. All things don't edify. Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, you work out your own religion. I'll work out mine. That's fine. The Bible said, reasoning together, we work it out with fear and with trembling. So then you work it out. But the only thing is, somebody would say, well, I think I can do this, and I think I can do that. And they begin to enumerate the things that they can do and still get to heaven, no doubt. But they can't do those things and get a full reward. There's no way. There's no need to tell Brother Pike that you can. I know that you can't do it. I can't say that you can't go to heaven. Because the Bible said you can be to the place to all of your works will be burned. And you won't bring anything to perfection. And yet you can get in as if a fire. See, so I can't say that you couldn't get to heaven. But I'm saying one thing. You won't get to heaven with fruits and reward. You won't get to heaven with the great, wonderful treasures, heap upon heap. Somebody said, well, what difference did that make? All right, let's look at it and see what difference does it make. Somebody's got $1,000. Somebody's got $10,000. Somebody's got $1,000,000. Somebody's got $1,000,000,000. What difference does it make? You know, it's because you haven't got it. Let's give the Lord a hand. Just because you haven't got it don't make no difference, does it? Some people drive a Rolls Royce. You drive whatever you can patch together. Some people have the convenience of those things at the hospital when their loved ones get sick. They pay the bills. They have the money to do that. They can do anything they want to. They travel to Hawaii. They travel across the world. What difference does it make? You know, if you can't do that just because you've got a hunk of cornbread and some black-eyed peas, they're eating steak. What difference does it make? Let me tell you something. If it don't make any difference, you need to stop your complaining and grumbling. Because I hear a lot of you grumbling and complaining about the other man prospering. And it seems to make a lot of difference to you. If it don't make any difference, then stop your complaining. You know, don't make any difference because you're half starving to death and you live in a shanty. Stop complaining. But if it does make a difference, then try to use the wisdom and understanding of God to know what I'm saying to you. When you get over yonder, there's going to be treasures and treasures, and there's going to be different dimensions, and there's going to be heights of glory that you will never go up into or never excel into. And there will be thrones and powers and principalities and great majesties that your very heart would yearn for. See, over yonder, a great reward, and you won't have it because you half-heartedly serve God. You wanted to have things in the earth. And so then, as it was said even to the rich man, in your lifetime, said you had the good things of the world. Lazarus had the bad things, but now he's comforted and thou art tormented. So then we see there's a greater damnation. We see there's a greater reward. A greater reward. Jesus also said, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. So there's a greater reward. There's greater heights. There's kings and rulers and powers, glories and majesties. But we've got to serve him.
The Bible says, when the kingdoms of this world became the kingdoms of God, as to the declaration here in the book of Revelation, it said, and now it's time to give reward to the holy apostles and prophets. I've got some reward, he said, and I want to give this to my holy men, not just to the church, not just to the people. So you can be a converted person, you can be a believer, or you can be part of the church. All of this calls for different rewards. Jesus did not have a crown. He had many crowns because he had done many things and conquered in many ways. See, not just a crown. Some of the others had a crown and they throw their crowns down to his feet. See, majesties and splendors and glories and magnificence and powers. All of these things we have access to. Should I then run after the world and give up all of these things just to have some frivolous nothing out here when it all belongs to me to start with? So then all things don't edify. Some of you will never have anything beyond what I'm saying. You'll never have it because you're not given to the Spirit. You're not given the spiritual thing. You don't have a spiritual desire. You don't have a spiritual hunger. You've never had it. You'll never have it. And some of you are just a wayfaring person, just faltering here and there, stumbling around everywhere. You'll never have that. Never. You're too contented with your way of life and the things of this world. All right, let me say just a few more things in the way of exhortation here in close, because I took quite a long time as to reading the scripture. Remember, you are developing. If you want that perfectness, if you want that treasure as to the knowledge, then there's only one way to get it. My heart is purified by faith, and faith comes by the hearing of the knowledge. And the more of that heavenly knowledge I get as to understand his way, the more faith and confidence I have. And the more the purification and enlargement of my heart becomes as to a place to store this wonderful treasure. So then, if you want to go on to be perfect, if you want to go on, Jesus said, I overcame. I sat down in the throne with my Father. He said, if you overcome, you can sit down in the throne with me. Now, someone would say, well, where is the throne of the Father, Brother Pike? Well, we're natural-minded. You know, we've got to have a big chair or something somewhere. But the throne of the Father is heaven. Heaven is a big throne. And Jesus overcame and entered into heaven. And we can overcome and enter into heaven. And what is heaven? What is a throne? Just entering into heaven? No. No, to enter in and sit upon the throne means that we enter into heaven, into the power, into the authority, into the ruling, into the riches, into the magnificence. That is the crown. That is the throne. So to be heir to these things, to be partakers of these things, to be one that can worship authority or take whatever we want to ourselves to say, to do, to be equal with God, to be equal with our master. Everyone that be perfect shall be equal to the master. So let us go on to perfection. Eternal judgment, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, all of these many wonderful things, and these things shall we do if God permit, and he will permit them if we'll go on to them. So then it means that some of you will never have anything like that, but some of you will. It'll be very rare, very rare, very few. Now it's time to give reward to my holy apostles and my holy prophets. So then to be holy, he said, be holy, for I'm holy. Be holy, for I'm holy. Be a holy apostle. Be a holy person. There's a righteous person. There's good people. But that's altogether different from a holy person. Altogether different. So you see that there are different people altogether, and there's different means and measures of life. And I say this to you tonight. I bring this little exhortation out to you tonight for one reason. Some of you are becoming at ease in Zion. You're becoming comfortable. You feel that Brother Pike has preached perfection to you, so that's all there is to it. You're perfect, and you'll just slide right on in. But that isn't it at all.
I'm telling you, that isn't it at all. You're going to have to make that body bend and bow. You're going to have to make that body conform. We're out for the redemption of the body. We've got to perfect holiness and the fear of God. We've got to come into these things. We've got many things to do. Somebody would say, but how am I then perfect? Perfect by His blood, as to while that blood is on the seat of atonement, there's nothing that can happen to you. You've got all the opportunities and benefits of God because that perfection is there. You're perfect in His sight. As long as you are alive and He is alive, as to give you this, as to the blood atonement. But remember, when the blood comes off of the seat of atonement, that's going to be the end of it. Whatever measure you have obtained unto, that's the only measure you're going to have. And God, the Bible said, Jesus Christ rose from the dead and gave gifts unto men and dealt a measure of faith, a measure unto every man that was able to receive the measure. So then it's up to you. You can do whatever you want to. You can come to church and be impatient. You can come to church and be contented. You can come to church and try to learn. You can come to church and pay no attention. You can come to church and try to support. You can come to church just to say amen and go your way. And you can come to church to really conform to the things of God, as to the fullness of the stature. Or come to church and just take a little bit and run off with it and feel that you're secure and let that be it. But I want you to know, I want your blood off of my hands. I want you to understand that when I preach perfection to you, I want you to understand what I'm saying to you. So then, if you understand, that's fine. That's great. That's good. Whatever measure you have, that's what you have, as to the perfection of the Lord. Do you understand? Do you understand what we're saying? If you want more perfection, let us go on to perfection, to gain more, to perfect our lives in the fear of God. Let us go on to be holy and add to our experience godliness and faith, patience, long-suffering and meekness and kindness and all these things, that we be not barren as to the production of fruits toward our Savior. You can be just as great as you want to be. He's done all the works. He's done all the works. It's only faith for you. But you're going to have to conform. John said to do the things that please Him, that your confidence of heart will take hold of these things, as to believing that what you've asked Him for, He hath granted to you. If you don't do anything to assure your heart, John said, hereby we assure our hearts, we have what we ask of Him. If you don't do anything as to His pleasure, as to conformity, still want to go the way of the world, and say, well, I can add this and get by with this, and I don't think this matters, and the little foxes will spoil your vines, because our vines have tender grapes. So it's up to you, you know, as to what you want to do. Let's stand together. You have your way of life. You have your thing to do in life. I have my way of life. I have my thing to do in life. And we can labor together, we can be partakers together, we can grow together into the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. We can do that. Glad to have Danny in church tonight. He was supposed to come this morning, and I think had a little problem, but I see he's in church tonight. I love Danny. I love my children. Everyone does that has any understanding at all. And I'm always praying for Danny, praying for his safety, asking God to please let his angels protect Danny, let the wonderful Holy Ghost protect my children, to keep them from falling into the places that they ought not to fall into, and into the troubles, knowing that at any time Satan can take them in their immature state, program their minds to death, to heartaches, to a prison term. Judges don't think anything about looking at a young boy and saying 10 years, 20 years, the electric chair. I've seen even women stand before judges, and a woman would come up. The judge was heartless. She'd cry, plead, scream. They'd take her out. It meant nothing. Go right on. I know many of them will go to hell. But still, at the same time, God has allowed those judges to shake us up, to make us stop and think. Prison bars to make us stop and think. The whip is for the fool's back, and the bridle is for the horse's mouth. And the Bible said you can't control them any other way. And He said to you and I, let us fear lest these things come nigh to us.
All right, humble your heart under the mighty hand of God that He might exalt you in due season. This we need to do. Can we sing a little chorus together? Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble plea, and while on others Thou art fallen, do not pass me by. Can you sing? Savior, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? And while on others Thou art called, oh, do not pass me by. Sing it with me. Oh, Savior, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? While on others Thou art calling, oh, do not pass. Can you sing that with me? The altars are open as we sing. Savior, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? And while on the others Thou art called, oh, do not pass. Can you sing that with me? Oh, Savior, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? And while on the others Thou art calling, oh, do sing it one more time when we can. Oh, Savior, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? While on the others Thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Let me at the throne of mercy find a sweet relief while kneeling there in deep contrition. Oh, help my unbelief. Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? While on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Let's give the Lord a hand, can you? So glad Jesus was willing to die for you and me. Had he not been willing to die for us tonight, we couldn't have this wonderful salvation that we have. We have the opportunity to be here and enjoy this wonderful salvation. Let's sing this little chorus, can we? Let us praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him at the noontime. Wanna praise Him. Praise Him when the sun's going down. Oh, let us love Him. Love Him. Love Him in the morning. Love Him at the noontime. Wanna love. When the sun goes down. Oh, sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven has come down. Oh, heaven has come down. Sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven has come down. Oh, so let us love Him, love Him, love Him in the morning, love Him at the noontime, love Him, love Him when the sun goes down. Oh, let us love Him. Love Him in the morning. Love Him at the noontime. Love Him. Love Him. Love Him when the sun's going down. Oh, let us praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him at the noontime. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him when the sun's going down. Can you give the Lord another hand? Somebody say hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Somebody say, I love you, Jesus. Don't you really love Jesus? If you really love Him, say, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. Glory to God, I love you, Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? I love you, Jesus. I want Him to know I love Him. Glory to God. Let the angels hear me say it. Let everybody hear me say it. Let the saints praise God. I love you, Jesus. I want the world to know that I love you, Jesus. I'd rather be a Christian. Hallelujah. We sang that song. I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. And it's good. Can you sing it with me? Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion, cause it's pretty. Sing it with me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody, and it's so give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion, cause it's singing with me. I want that old-time religion. Old-time religion. I want that old-time religion, cause it's good enough for me. It has taken us all to heaven. It has taken us all to heaven. It has taken us all to heaven, and it's good. Thank you for the old-time religion, Lord. Thank you for the old-time religion, Lord. Thank you for the old-time religion, cause it's good. Can you sing that with me? Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion, cause it's good. I want that old-time religion. I want that old-time religion. I want that old-time religion. So give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Sing it again. Oh, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Can you sing that again? Oh, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion, cause it's... Sing it one more time. Oh, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Give me that old-time religion. We enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and we enter into his courts with praise. Can we sing that little song together? Let us enter the gates with thanksgiving in our heart. Let us enter the courts with praise. Let us say this is the day that the Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice, cause Jesus. Can you sing that with me? Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad, and I'm gonna rejoice, cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad, and I'm gonna rejoice. Sing it with me. Let us enter into the gates with thanksgiving in our heart. Let us enter into the courts with praise. Let us say this is the day that the Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice, cause Jesus made me glad. For Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And we're going to join all of you that made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice. Jesus, baby. Can you say praise the Lord? Across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. Across the bridge, there's no more pain. Can you sing it with me? Sun will shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy. Sing that again. Across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. And across the bridge, there's no more pain. For the sun will shine across the river, and we'll never be unhappy again. In this world we're living in, we have lived a life of sin, done forbidden things we shouldn't do. Now the Savior leads the way to a land of better day, where we can find real happiness and love that's true. Across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. And across the bridge, there's no more pain. For the sun will shine across the river, and we'll never be unhappy. Can you sing that with me? Far across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. And across the bridge, there's no more pain. For the sun will shine across the river, and we'll never be unhappy again. Let's give the Lord a hand one more time. Can you say, somebody say praise God. Amen. So wonderful to be at Bethlehem, to praise God, to love the Lord, and see people growing up into the strength and power of God. I believe you're growing up into it, and I believe you're going to do something for God. You love the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel God. Don't you feel God? Brother Dwight, you feel God? Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I like that. Hallelujah. Praise God. I like that. Glory to God. Brother Gary, I like that. Hallelujah. Let's do that again. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's sing another chorus here. We'll try to let you go in a few minutes. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. Can you sing it with me? For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. Sing it with me now. And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea, and the land and time. Can we sing that together? For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be. Sing it with me. And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be. For the angels will stand on the sea, and the land and time shall be. One more time. For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angels shall stand on the sea and the land. Can you raise your hands with me as we sing it again? Remember, you're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angels shall stand on the sea and the land, and time. Remember, the angel stands on the land and the sea. That was the great and mighty Jesus, the angel of God, the angel of the covenant, the angel, the light was about his head. He was the one that fulfilled time at Calvary in the fullness of time. He came and he stood there, and that was the end of time. And Peter said, you are the people upon whom the ends of the world, pardon me, have come. So tonight, we're standing tonight, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Tonight, we're speaking time out of existence. You know that's true. Hallelujah. You that are speaking this word and this message, you're speaking time out of existence. You're speaking time out of existence. Isn't that right? How can we do that? Because time is gone. Time is gone. Time belongs to the world. It belongs to us. From Calvary over here, I can prove that you're not a time creature. You're not a time creature. Time to die, death, death. Death is the separation as to the body and the spirit, as to the way the world counts for that. We don't have to have anything to do with that. We've gone beyond that point. When they say men die, we died. He tasted death one time for all of us. So then we've passed from death unto life. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed by the body of the Lord Jesus unto sin, alive unto God. So that we passed over the time barrier. We passed over that, the fulfillment of time. And so we stand tonight with our hands raised to heaven. And what do we sing? Let's sing it together again, can we? For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. Can you sing it with me? The angels stand on the sea and the land, and time for me is like those visions of translation that we've been having, or people have been having about us. Sing it again. For time for me is no more, no more, and time for me is no more. For the angels will stand on the sea and then time. Sing it one more time with me. Run time shall be no more, no more, and time for me is no more. The angel, he stands on the sea and the land, and time for me is no more. Some prayer. Little lady wants to give her heart to the Lord. Praise God. Put your hand right there, Betty, with mine. We're going to pray, and she's going to give her heart to the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel her doing it right now. Little sister, the Bible said it shall come to pass that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to call on the name of the Lord. Start right now in your heart. And with your lips, call on the name of the Lord. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Confession unto salvation is made with the lip. Hallelujah. While they're praising God tonight, I want you to give your heart to God. I want to sing that song again, let us praise Him, while she gives her heart to God. Let us praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him in the morning, and we'll praise Him at noontime. Praise. I'm going to praise Him, praise Him till the sun goes down. Oh, let us love Him, love Him, love Him in the morning, and love Him at love Him in the morning, love Him at the noontime, love.
Him I want to love. Love Him when the sun.
Some of you sisters come up here and pray with a son.
Praise Him. Lift your hands up and praise Him, little sister. Just lift your hands up with Brother Pike, will you? Come on, lift your hands up. Lift them up. That's right. Just lift them on up. Hallelujah. That's right. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands up. Hallelujah. Come on, lift them up. Hallelujah. Love Him. Love Him. Love Him in the morning. Love Him at the noontime. Love. I want to love Him. Love Him in the sun. Well, I think I'll testify just while I have a chance. Think I'll testify while I have a chance. I think I'll testify just while I have a chance. Or I may not have this chance anymore. Well, I think I'll love the Lord just while I have a chance. Think I'll love the Lord just while I have a chance. I think I'll love the Lord just while I have a chance. Cause I may not have this chance anymore. I think I'll call on Jesus just while I have this chance. Think I'll call on Jesus just while I have a chance. I think I'll call on Jesus just while I have a chance. Cause we may not have this chance. Come on, folks, let's worship God. Oh, let me call on Jesus just while I have this chance. Let me call on Jesus just while I have this chance. Oh, let me call on Jesus just while I have a chance. Cause I may not have this chance anymore. Let's give the Lord a hand. I see Robin standing up here and Gracie standing up here crying and calling on the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't that make you feel good? That makes me feel wonderful. It makes me feel wonderful. I see this little sister calling on the name of the Lord. Other little sisters standing around here, and you men folks calling on the name of the Lord. Come on, folks, let's worship God. You're not tired tonight. Hallelujah. You can miss a day tomorrow and sleep late. Come on. I ain't after your money. I don't care if you stay out on Monday and miss a day. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. Say hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus together. Can we do this? Everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. Save my soul. Everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be. Gracie, come around and help me sing. Save my soul. Everything's gonna be all right. Things gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. Jesus came. Save my soul, everything's gonna be alright.
Everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright. Since Jesus came and He freed my soul, everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright. Praise Him. Praise Him in the morning.
come down. I wonder if the Floyds would come around and help us sing. Where's the Floyds? Come up here and help us sing, Floyds. Floyd sisters, come up here. Heaven's come down. I wonder if our brothers from Texas could come up here and help me sing. Sometimes I feel like heaven has come down. Heaven has come down. Oh, heaven has come down. Sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven has come down. So let us love. Let us love, love him, love him in the morning, love him at the Hallelujah. Jesus, wonderful Jesus. Can we sing that little chorus? Wonderful Jesus. Hallelujah. Wouldn't you like to just get together with people all over the world and do this? That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. I got a call from California just before I came in tonight. Brother Benga, Brother Abraham's son, called me from California. He's come to California. Been out there for a number of days, and he wanted to call and say hello. All around the world, we're doing this with different people, and we're going to grow bigger and bigger and bigger as to the brethren coming together and different ones meeting each other so that we can really love the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Let's give the Lord another hand, can we? Hallelujah. Good to praise the Lord. God inhabits the praise of his people. Hallelujah. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me. He's a counselor and a prince of peace, and mighty God is here. He's saving me and keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory in his name. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is in me. He's a counselor and a prince of peace, mighty God is here. From all sin and shame, wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to his name. Oh, he's wonderful, he's wonderful. He's the counselor and the prince of peace. Mighty God is he. He's saving me and he's keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer. Sing it again. For he's wonderful. For he's wonderful, he's wonderful, my Jesus is to me. He's the counselor, he's the prince of peace, my God is here.
voice keeping me and saving me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to His name. He's wonderful. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to His name.
One more time.
Wonderful, He's wonderful, like Jesus is to me. He's a counselor and a prince of me. My God is He, for He's saving me and keeping me in that day.
Danny, how about coming up here?
My God is here for saving me and keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to me.
Sing that again. Wonderful, He's wonderful, my Jesus is to me.
He counselor and peace of peace. For saving me and is keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory.
One more time.
Wonderful, wonderful, my Jesus is to me. He's the counselor and the prince of peace. The mighty God is here. For saving me and is keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory.
Can you give Him another hand? Can you say praise the Lord? Can you thank God for these souls coming to the altar? Can you see that fasting and praying and talking to God makes a difference? Hallelujah, you've been fasting and praying and talking to God. Don't it make a difference? Somebody say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Glory! This is your church. This is your ground. You can scream as loud as you want to. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus is good. Isn't Jesus good? Hallelujah. Don't you want a real revival down in your heart? Don't you want that down in your heart? Hallelujah.
Everybody ought to know.
Everybody ought to know.
Everybody ought to know.
The best.
Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. Can you sing it with me?
somebody say hallelujah tonight. Come on, say hallelujah, make him hear you. Say hallelujah. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Who Jesus is.
Can you sing it with us?
Oh, he is the lily of your valley, and he's the bright morning star, and he is the fairest of 2,000.
The Lord, let's give him another hand.
There's nothing wrong with worshiping the Lord, is there? God inhabits the praise of his people. You know that Jesus is here, the precious Holy Ghost is here. The more you praise him, the more you praise him, the more that God's going to bless us tonight. Let's give him a habitation, a place of habitation. Let's give him a place to dwell tonight. Let's worship the Lord. Can we worship the Lord? Let's worship the Lord tonight. Let's worship the Lord in songs and in praises tonight. Praise ye the Lord. The Bible said, praise ye the Lord. All of you people, praise the Lord. Give him a wave offering tonight. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Let's praise the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Glory to his wonderful name. Hallelujah. Praise you, the Lord. This is what God wants us to do. He wants us to love him. Hallelujah.
Well, I looked over the Jordan, and what did I see?
Everybody stretch your hand up here and have prayer for Daddy to strengthen him. He needs your strength. Come on, lift your hands up here. He's prayed for you. Now it's your turn to pray for him. Come on, folks.
Coming to carry me home.
feel the yokes being broke tonight. I really feel it. Come on, folks, let's love the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's love the Lord. Come on! Let's love the Lord tonight. Lift up your hands tonight. Let's praise God tonight. Can you praise the Lord tonight? Come on. Lift those hands up tonight. God loves you tonight. God loves you tonight. Lift those hands up and let God bless you tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift those hands up and let's praise God tonight. Let God bless you tonight. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus tonight, touch this sister while we praise the Lord.
Get your healing tonight. God will heal you tonight. He'll save you tonight. He'll heal you tonight. He'll deliver you tonight. Ain't no devil's going to stay around here with this kind of praise. Hallelujah! They don't like Bethlehem. Glory!
Amen.
God wants to help you tonight, heal you tonight, strengthen you tonight.
God's very good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is really blessing you people. I found out the other day that over at the big Hemp Hill Church of God in Atlanta, Georgia, that they're about to lose their organist. He wants to come down here and be our organist. Brother Taylor, you better hold on. Let's give the Lord a hand. Oh, it's getting stirred everywhere. Hallelujah. I think that's wonderful, don't you? Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on, let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Nothing like serving the Lord Jesus. Isn't that right? And we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep. Bringing in the sheep.
We shall come rejoicing. Bringing in the sheep. Bringing in the sheep. Bringing in the sheep. We shall come rejoicing. Bringing in the sheep. Bringing in the sheep.
We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep. Oh,
sing it with me.
We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep.
Sing it with me.
Bringing in the sheep. We're bringing in the sheep. And we shall come rejoicing.
We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep.
Come on, folks, reach out your faith for these other ones. Come on, lift up your hands. You got all the rest of the night to praise God. What else have you got to go do? Come on, get your strength up for these others standing up here. Come on.
Send us the rain. Power in the rain, Lord. Power in the rain, Lord. Power in your ladder. And sing it with me. Send us that rain, Lord. Send us that rain, Lord. Send us that ladder.
Power in the rain, Lord. Power in the rain. Salvation in the rain, Lord. Salvation in the latter rain. Salvation in the rain, Lord. Salvation in the rain, Lord. Salvation in the latter rain. Oh, send us the rain, Lord. Send us the rain.
Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God.
Send us that battery.
Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I pray for Sister Linda's family. Dear God, you're going to do something in that family. I can feel her faith in God tonight. You're going to do something in that family. Hallelujah.
Save those people, God. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah.